morning. Y'all doing okay this morning? Well, I don't think anybody's here but me. Oh, thank you, Sarah. We're going to start all over again. Good morning. That is so much better. Somebody was waving back there. I don't know who that was, but there we go. See, there's a lot of people waving. I love that. I'm just going to say something before we start. I love that back pew back there. When I'm standing up here singing, I see that back pew back there. Boy, but it sure be great if you guys were up here where everybody could see you one of these days. So. We may have to put you, we may have to save you in some seats up front because you guys are a good-looking group of kids. You're not kids. You're young adults. You're a good-looking bunch back there. So anyway, good morning. We're going to get started with the one offering this morning. So if you'd bow with me. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house and to worship you. Dear God, I know that there's so much going on today, and there's hurt, there's confusion, there's heartache, and we just pray, dear God, that you would just be a God of comfort, a God of love. We pray, dear Lord, that you would put your hand upon so many people this morning that we're thinking about, and that you would just be with them, dear Lord, as only you can. I pray, dear God, that this morning, that the one offering, that you would just speak to our hearts, dear Lord, and let us know that your kingdom is getting built. It can get built with or without us, but, dear Lord, we would sure like to come along for the ride. So I pray this morning that you would take this offering, that it would go exactly to where you want it, dear Lord, and that we would give it willingly. We ask these things in thy precious and thy holy name. Amen. All right, we're going to get started this morning with all the announcements. And first off is the Men's Work and Witness. It's this weekend at Camp Table Rock. There is a sign-up sheet out on the welcome desk. There's also more information in this nice little bulletin. And I think Miss Cindy does an awesome job each week preparing this. You can. There's so much. You don't need to listen to me. You just need to open this thing and read it. There's so much news in there. We have a revival service coming up next week. It will begin next Sunday. There are invite cards out on the welcome desk. You can still pick some of those up. You can hand them out to friends. You can pick up flyers, and you can put them in your windows at work and on the bulletin boards. This is with Jeremiah Bullock, and we would love to see you all come. There is help needed to providing meals for families with sickness. There's a sign-up sheet out on the welcome desk, or you can contact Jill Calloway. She is in charge of that. Right now, they're currently providing meals for the family of Melba Steen, and I have been told that there's like four people that are in the rotation and that they would really like to have some more. So if you're willing to take a meal, or I'm sure if you're willing to fix a meal and you can't take it, somebody else could deliver it, whatever we need to do and get it done. There's a sign-up sheet out there, or like I said, you can contact Jill. She's the one in charge of that. The District Women's Retreat. Here's the flyer that Miss Cheryl's handed out. There's a barcode or scan code or whatever on that. If you want to go, ladies, you can scan that and register online. The deadline to register for that is the 20th, and Miss Cheryl would love to know if you're going because she's taking care of reservations. So if you're going, let her know. If you've already signed up, let her know, just so she can make sure she has enough hotel rooms. Ladies' night is this Tuesday, 6 p.m. at Sean Yarnell's house, and all ladies are welcome. There is more information in your bulletin. Tonight is home groups. There is information in your bulletin. Every home group is on there with phone numbers, so look at that. I did see in there that Shannon and Joy Pruitt are not meeting tonight, so that's a little update on that. In the back of your pew, there is a Connect card. This is for people that are new with us today visiting. We would love to get some information to get to know you, get to meet you. On the back of that are prayer requests. And I know that there are a lot of prayer requests. We had praise and worship practice this morning, and Colin started off, and he said he had one. And before it was all over, I don't know how many we had, but Colin, bless your heart. Y'all need to pray for Colin. He's taking some tests, and I think he said two tests, and they're 3 hours each. I'd need a lot of prayer for that one. So remember him in prayer. And I think that's all I have for right now, and I'm going to holler at Rob Hunt because he's cranky this morning, and he told me not to be nice, so I won't. So, Rob, if you'll get your crankiness up here, we'd appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. I'm tired. Okay, so what are you doing? You went with us, too. Get up here. So we went in power this weekend in Kansas for 12 weeks, it felt like. So we took this crazy bunch of kids. I will tell the parents of the teens we've made a new rule that no more energy drinks for the teenagers, okay? And if you do drink an energy drink and I find out, I'm going to tase you. So if your teen comes home with a couple of red dots on their neck, just don't worry about it. We're good. Okay. So I'm going to go down the list here and kind of tell what each of them did and how they... Whew. Okay, so we got Landon and Nate. They were on junior high basketball, and they had some other friends from the well that they made a team, and Riley was their coach, and they went undefeated and won the championship. It was awesome. I don't know if it was the players or the coach or both, but anyway... then we got Hayden, which we had to peel him off the wall several times. I think once or twice on the ceiling. He's the energy drink boy. He played football, and they just had random people playing football, so they just put him on a team. And his team got second place. I wasn't done. There was only two teams. So, but anyway, we'll just say he got second place. Blake, he was just kind of moral support this weekend and kind of helped us all out with stuff. So, yay, Blake. Meredith, what'd you do?
Nothing.
Nothing, absolutely nothing. So, that's fine.
I was the hype.
She was the hype. Okay. Ava, you did two pieces of artwork, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, she did artwork and she... got on both pieces, she got the highest score possible. So she got the outstanding award on both of those. Abby, she did one piece of artwork and she didn't get the highest score possible by one point, and she was real bitter about it. She's like, you people, what in the world? So anyway, but I think she's prayed through that. But anyway, she got the highest award possible on that too. Jenna... nothing. We got nothing. Bryce, he played senior high basketball with some of his friends from another church, and there was more than two teams, and their team got second place, so that was good. We had some excitement during the last game. One of his teammates got landed on by another guy and dislocated both kneecaps. And so he laid there on the floor. They called the ambulance out. We thought, oh, no, this is horrible. They're going to have to haul him off to the... And the paramedic popped his kneecaps back into place right there, which, anyway, we got through that. What am I missing? Oh, Davin, he's not here. He played Frisbee golf, and he got... he got second place, and there was more than two. He lost first place by one point. He wasn't too bitter about that, but I think Brooke here was a little bitter because she had to stand out in the rain with him for a couple hours. And there's a couple of girls.
These two stayed with me.
But you'll see that on our video. But we had a great, fun time. It was a blast. I just don't want to do it again for another year. But we got a really good group of teens. So you guys can go ahead and sit down. And just so that you do believe us that we did go somewhere and do something, we have a short video that Brooke has made of our weekend that Eric is going to show. Thanks.
You turn pain into promise. Bring beauty from ashes. Where we go, I stay.
that man brought me back to life. Yeah, that man brought me back to life. Yeah, that man, now I'm living twice. My mama, boy, tell him the real drop, all on the gram. I'm just a fisherman, man, whenever my reels drop. And then I walk, yeah. Big shots, look at my life, remade it. The curses are gone, now I'm giving your kids bops. And it don't stop, dead man, great, my natural habitat. KB, I was on the corner blowing cabbage packs. Chasing newer models every year like Cadillac. To the spirit raiding my whole tomb like Laura Croft. Yeah, I woke alive, ain't no changing my mind, no, it had to be God. Woo, Ric Flair, woo, yeah, new nature boy, and I'm having a hard time. Cause I gotta speak it, no cover, repeat it in public. If Jesus can touch it, the healing is coming, the feeling is stunning, and we never die at my funeral. Buff, it's like, out of the gate, yeah, out of the gate, yeah. I'm on a way, yeah, out of the gate, yeah. I'm on a stage, yeah. I made it, taking it, I ain't away, I'm on. Dead man brought me back to life. Yeah. Dead man brought me back to life. Yeah. Dead man brought me back to life. Yeah. Dead man, now I'm living twice. Yeah, see it, you love it, you need it, you cuff it. It's Jesus, no fronting, there's nothing in front of him. All of my brothers said we under covenant, nobody touching us, no. Yeah, candid enough for the spirit opponent. He ripping and running, the drugs get the flushing, the tears get the flooding. The old me is dying and never recovering. Ooh, yeah, can't get a second, but no second guessing. Look, this is our last.
All right. So if you didn't pick up on it, they were in Fort Scott, Kansas, and district-wide, we have like 75, 85 churches on our district, and the youth, different churches come together for the athletics and the art and talent kind of portion of it. And so really glad you guys got to go and that you represented us well. Thank you. And just hopefully that helps you pray for our youth group. They're meeting every Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and new people are coming and God's working. So it should be a reminder to pray. All right. Well, welcome. I just want to thank you for being here. And I believe God has something special for us in this hour of worship. So let's start off by greeting each other in the name of the Lord. That's a Bible thing you're supposed to do, right? Let's, not the holy kiss part, not today. Anyway, would you stand and greet those around you? If there's somebody you don't know, introduce yourself.
Strongly live. I'm surrounded by the Defeat the resurrected king body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave.
Our God has robbed.
Seated. We have lots that we can pray for, and it's a great privilege to join together as a church family and be able to do just that. I trust that throughout the week you've been praying for some that you care deeply about and you know the needs in their lives, and we get to do it together today. So praise the Lord. Yesterday, right here in this very room, we united in marriage. Shannon and Abby Brake. And they're not with us today. They took off. But it was a great time to celebrate their relationship. And if you get to know them, you'll know that really the reason they're together is because God has been working in both their lives in some pretty cool ways. So that was a special celebration. Do want to share with you some news that we just bear together as a family. We bear each other's burdens. We've been praying for Chris Young. Mark is a regular attender here and often in our worship team. And his brother Chris passed away this morning. And we've been praying for him. And it makes you think about, okay, well, we anoint people, you know, for healing and things like that. And then you hear about their death. What does that mean? Well, it means we don't stop believing because we have Jesus' example that he touched people and he still touches people. And he didn't heal everybody who was sick, you know, when he walked on the earth. But there are many that he did heal. And those are miracle stories. I've got a few I would tell you. Even from people who it was considered by doctors that they didn't have any hope left to keep living. And they kept living because God touched them. So just to put that in there. Melba Steen is at home on hospice care. She has lung and brain cancer. She's basically in a hospital bed in her living room. And we're going to take meals to the family. They're gathered there with her. And we mentioned last week also praying for Tim Totten. That's Jim and Susan's brother. Has a recurrence of cancer. Melody, I think you mentioned your sister. Is that right?
Yeah.
Has cancer and needs prayer as well. And there's just so many. John DeVault, who is Deanne Richter's dad. He's been hospitalized now since being in a serious automobile accident. He's already had two surgeries. He's got more surgeries ahead. And we're just praying that this is also a time of spiritual awakening for him. And the list goes on. We're praying for Ariel Rendell's mom and praying for Brad Haber. He had some tests this week. We're praying, continue to pray for him that he'd be able to get back in the service. For Stevie Gregory. Bill Moss is healing. Got a good report from him last week. We're praying for Bill Jung, who is Joanna Bryce's dad. And Kendra Bartholomew, our pastor's wife over in Stratford. And then there's more on the board than that. So keep praying. And I want to lead us in prayer, and then what we're going to do is ask the worship team to, we're going to join in another song, and then at the end of that song, I'm going to invite any of those that want to be anointed and prayed over to come to the front. But first, would you just bow your heads with me? Let's claim the truth that we've just sung. Lord, we come to you this morning with the truth of Job's declaration that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, I continue to praise God in my life through the good and the bad. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the seeds of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. But also blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we come with some of those mixed feelings today, God, but we do come back to our God who is a healer, our God who is almighty, our God who is all-knowing, our God who is ever-present, our God who does not fail, our God who loves us with everlasting love. We come to you. And we've just sung the truth. By your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. And we come with grateful hearts, Jesus. You were the one who took the crown of thorns. You were the one who took the lashes. You were the one who hung on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins, that we could be healed, that we could be set free from sin, that we could live a new life by your power. And we want to thank you for that today. And in those places where we see the great need, these ones that we've just mentioned, we're reminded today as we look death in the face, as we pray for the young family, that you're the God who conquered death, and that ultimately our victory as followers of King Jesus will be living forever with you. And so we want to thank you for that hope today and pray you would surround the young family with your comfort and lift them up today. We pray for others who are facing cancer and serious medical issues in their bodies, that you would minister to them, that you would be at work in them, that you would be with them. They would recognize your presence. We pray for that, Lord. And then, Jesus, as we prepare to walk into revival services, we're praying, God, that you would prepare us. Stir us. Help us not to be satisfied with just a status quo of here's what I do, and we check off the list of the ways we serve God, the things that we do, like coming to a church service or a Sunday school class or a home group. But God, to be stirred by you, to recognize there's more, that our soul is an elastic container that can hold a lot more than what's probably already there. And so we pray for revival, God. We've seen the stirrings around our country. Just reports this week that I received from fellow pastors that were at a conference in Florida, and you moved in dramatic ways beyond what they had ever experienced before. And I want to thank you that we're sensing that this is a time of revival here in America. And we're praying, God, that it would happen here among us, that it would be part of our experience, that I pray, my prayer, that you would show the next generation the power that you have, your power to save and deliver, your power to reign in us and cause things to happen through our lives that are totally impossible in the human realm, are only possible because of the God we serve. And I pray, God, that that would be our experience. I pray your blessing on our evangelist as he preaches today in Ohio, that you would be with him and prepare him, that he would see things this week in those other services that would prepare him for coming to Marshfield. And that, Lord, most of all, you would prepare us, that we would come with expectancy, we would come ready, we would come willing to receive, willing to do whatever you need to do in us. And then, Jesus, would you open our eyes? Just like you said to your disciples as you were there with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, and here came the villagers out, and you said to your disciples, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. And do you not say 4 months more until the harvest? But I say to you, look at the fields.
They are white and ready for harvest. So God, I pray that you would pour an urgency into us, because we live in a community, we live near people that need is great in their household, in their personal lives. Some of them are our coworkers, some of them are family members, some of them are neighbors. Oh Lord, I pray that you would sensitize us to those kinds of needs, and that you would use us to be a voice, to speak the truth, that you would use us as an example to live the truth, that it would impact their lives as well. And Lord, as we declare our personal need, I pray that you would move on us this morning. Oh, how we need you. And we pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand together as the worship team prepares to lead us. And near the end of the song, if you'd like to have for anointing and healing, then you just come here to the front and we'll meet you.
Like to be a family. This is family prayer time. So if you'd like to stand alongside somebody, put your hand on their shoulder. That would be awesome. Chance, I'm going to start with you. All right. We're going to pray along for Mark Young and his family. All right.
Just another unspoken I have too. So.
All right. Father, we are so thankful that we can seek you. You're as close as the mention of your name. And you have what we need. I pray for Mark and Desiree. I pray for the extended family of Chris as they're gathered. And I pray, as I prayed with Mark this morning, that the resurrection hope would be so real for them to think of Chris's faith and to realize he's free from illness, pain, the suffering, the question marks about his physical well-being. And he's in your hands, and we want to thank you. But we pray for them, God. They need your comfort and your help today. And I also lift up Chance to you and the unspoken request he's carrying today, that you will minister in these circumstances, that you will bring answers that will cause us to turn back and thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I pray it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to pray for your dad. All right. You. Father, I want to thank you that we have this avenue to seek you. I want to thank you that the Holy Spirit is right there in the hospital room in Springfield ministering to John. And I pray for breakthrough in his life, spiritually and healing physically. And I anoint Deanna in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for this healing to happen and for restoration of his spiritual well-being. That it would be by your grace and by your healing power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Any others? Yes. All right.
He's healed her once, he'll do it again.
All right.
I do that side again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to pray for Melody's sister. Father, we want to thank you that we can come to you. Your healing power has already been experienced in her body, and we're turning her back over to you, Lord, for that touch that she needs right now. Whatever it is, you know exactly what's needed. You know beyond what doctors know, and I anoint Melody in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. With faith, Lord, we cry out to you, our mighty healer, for healing on behalf of her sister in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pray for Tim Totten, anoint Jim, and for Rusty's sister,
Missy.
All right. God's the healer. Lord, you're bigger than what's the matter. Like huge problems for us. We feel helpless, but we come to you. I, Brother Jim, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, on behalf of his brother Tim, on behalf of Missy, we're praying, God, for you to deal with the cancer, and we pray, God, that it will be in a way that you get all the glory. It's not us, it's all you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Whatever this respiratory thing.
All right. Okay. Let's pray for John and Donna. Father, I want to thank you. We're coming by, and we pray the simple prayer of faith as I anoint Donna today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're asking for your healing touch to be complete, to release them from the things that are hindering them right now, and to give them your complete healing in Jesus' name. Father, we want to thank you for Ariel and her faith. We want to thank you that even though she's had to work through some things with the challenges and with the relationship with her mom, that you're at work
And what we can't see, we want to thank you in advance for. And what's needed still to be done, we're submitting it to you, God. We're entrusting this to you and praying that you will do things that only you can accomplish, that you work behind the scenes and in the inner being, that these things are dealt with. And we pray that you'll give her strength, pray you'll give her the words to say, and that you'll minister in this, in these situations, and bring glory to your name. Through Christ I pray. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. All right. Okay, we're going to anoint for Mel Steen. She is very, very weak in her bed. I'm just bedfast. Her spirit is still sweet. She loves Jesus. So, Father, I want to thank you for our sister Melba, for her faith in you, for things that she has walked with you through in her life, and her faith is still there. It's strong, and I want to thank you for her. But we also now anoint for her healing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, you're leading us to believe that these kind of miracles are possible. So we submit her to you, our beloved sister, and we ask you to heal her body and make her whole once again, that it would be a witness to everyone around her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay. All right. Keep praying and keep believing. Praise God. As you go back to your seats, we want to invite the ushers forward to help us in our giving. And let me just update you. You know, we're working on raising this $100,000 that will complete the project cost for our Building for the Future campaign. As we are preparing ourselves to grow younger as a congregation, and God is already blessing in some huge ways. So we are currently at $93,660. That's 94,000. Praise God. All right, we're going to send the kids out of here, too. They are headed that way to Children's Church. I almost forgot. All right. I'm trying. All right, kids. Have a good time. Tell me what country you learn about when you get back. Robert Schuller said, God gives to us what he knows will flow through us. God gives to us what he knows will flow through us. Always make sure you have this open-handedness about your giving, releasing to God. Who's praying for us today? All right, right here.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you again today, we thank you for the privilege that we have to give a portion of what you've blessed us so much with. We thank you for taking that, dear Lord, and using it to the better of your kingdom. And we are so thankful to be able to participate in this, and we'll be sure to give you the honor, praise, and the glory. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who hunger and
The truth is so simple. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. And I think we make it too complicated sometimes. Maybe not intentionally, but maybe just in our thoughts. We just need to believe and seek first. Thank you for that. That segues right into the message. We are learning and growing from scriptural truth that's presented in the book by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. I think we got the wrong slides up there. You'd be called to serve. And some of you are reading through the book with us, and this message comes out of chapter 4 in that book, so if you're trying to read along. And I'm trying to write these messages in a way that they kind of echo what's in the book. So it's not just all right from the book. Otherwise, I'd just stand up here and read you out of the book, right? But to make it an echo, so if you read the chapter and you hear the Sunday message, that you would go, oh, yeah. And you grow in that, because we learn by repetition. It lodges deeper in us when we hear it again, and I hope some of that is happening. If you're a man here, if you come on Tuesday mornings to our men's breakfast, 6:45 a.m. over at Grillo's in the back room, I'm doing some more echo stuff on Tuesday mornings from Sunday. If you come to Cheryl and I, our house tonight for home group, you'll hear some more echo stuff, but we get to sit down and just talk about it, discuss it. And look at it from different angles. So all of those different places of being able to hear it again and again, and it lodges it deeper in us. It's a discipleship method that I'm trusting will be effective for you. 2 weeks ago, I told you that God created you for a love relationship with Him, that He longs for you to respond to His never-ending, unending, never-failing love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. And then you go to 1 John 3:16, and I've got the verse there on the screen. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. He wants you to love Him back. And that's not hard if you understand how much He loved you first. And His love hasn't changed. And we highlighted 1 John 3:1 as we preached that message. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, poured out abundantly without reserve, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. If you see how much God loves you, you will never doubt His goodness, and you will never stray from following Him. You can be gloriously lost in His love for the rest of your earthly journey. Hallelujah. And then last week I told you that you were called to follow Jesus. Just like Jesus spoke to those first disciples on the shore of Galilee, and He said to them, come, follow Me, and I will make you. He's still calling followers today. Following Jesus is a daily walk. We wake up today to follow Him, to go where He goes, to do what He says. So we walk with Him, we listen for His voice, we receive our instructions from Him, usually just a day at a time. And when you get to the place where you trust Jesus to guide you step by step by step, you will find tremendous freedom there. It's no longer up to you. You're just following Jesus. And you're called to follow Him. He speaks, you say yes. Well, this week in chapter 4 of Experiencing God, we talk about being a servant. We're looking at God's call for us to serve Him and to serve others. Jesus said, whoever serves Me must follow Me. Sounds like last week's message carried into this week. Whoever serves Me must follow Me, and where I am, My servant also will be, right? We're following Jesus. We're walking with Him. Where I am, My servant will also be, and My Father will honor the one who serves Me. It starts with your attitude. It's a servant attitude. So I'm going to take you back a long, long way in my life. I was about 20 years old. I was taking some gen ed college classes at a state college, and I was working at a music store. And God was dealing with me about my calling to become, to serve as a pastor. And it took a while for all that, for me to figure that out. And then there was a moment where I knew he called me. But before that, he was preparing me. And the store owner that I worked for in that music business was a Jewish man, and he knew very little of the Christian church. He was very focused on making money through his store. So when he heard, he kind of one day, he was old enough to be my dad, and he sat me down one day and he goes, "Fred, where do you want to be in 10 years? What do you want to do with your life?" And I said, "Well, I think I might be a minister." And he just, that spun his brain. He didn't know what to say to that. He said, well, finally he got this thought. "If you're going to be a pastor, then get into television because that's where the money is." Well, I'm not on television. Well, I'm on the internet. Anyway. But in studying the New Testament, I find a completely different attitude about serving God. You can find it in Philippians chapter 2. I'll put it on the screen for you. Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we, as people who follow Jesus, are called to develop a servant attitude. If we give him permission, he'll grow that in us. It's not about making money. It's not about a charismatic personality that develops a great following. It's not about becoming famous for doing good deeds in the public eye. A servant attitude is about being humble and obedient. And that's the place where God can be experienced. And we will hear his call to serve. Well, you're shaped to serve. God made you for this. So when you offer yourself to God as a servant, he will shape you into the person that he made you to be. He already knows what he wants to ask of you to do for him. So God will always work in you before he works through you. Let me say that again. God will always work in you before he works through you. There's a preparation for that. And whenever God gives an assignment, he equips you to fulfill it. Job said, "Your hands shaped me and made me." So he does. He shapes our lives. And if you've ever read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, I want to share this. It comes right out of that book. And this has helped me in understanding about how God made me and how I can serve him. And so he highlights this. And if you follow it down from top to bottom, the first letters, it's an acrostic for shape, S-H-A-P-E. But these are the pieces that God puts in you and works together as he prepares you, then calls you and you respond so you can serve him. He works with your spiritual gifts. When you become a Christian, he gifts you. He puts things in you that weren't there before that are equipping you to serve him. He made you. He made your heart, which is your passions. It's what you love to do, and you're wired way differently than that. If you're married, you can see the difference just between you and your spouse about heart, the passions, the things that excite you, the things that get you motivated. But God put that in you. And then he shapes your abilities. Now, you have some natural abilities. You know, some people are mechanically inclined. Some people are musical. All these different abilities, but some of it came naturally that you were born with. Some of it's been developed as you've lived your life, as maybe you've been trained on different jobs with different skills that you've learned. You have different abilities. And then the P is for personality. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you're a team player or kind of a work-by-yourself person, God can use how he made you. And then the E is for experiences. The experiences you had from your family upbringing, the experiences from your education, from the jobs you've had, spiritual experiences you've had, even painful experiences you've experienced in life, are part of what makes you who you are today. And God knows all of that perfectly. S-H-A-P-E. It's your shape. And those five different areas of your life make you different than any other person in the world. It's really amazing. Our creative God has made each of us so different. God has shaped you that way for a purpose, and He knows what He's doing. You can respond to Him as He speaks to you, and you may even recognize as He speaks to you, this is something I want to do. This is what He made me to do. This is something I can do. And that purpose is found when you serve Him. I want to highlight one other area in this about being shaped to serve. That Jesus told His followers, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. One of the dangers to the humility and the obedience that puts us in a place where we can serve God and serve others is that we get the big head, right? Like, hey, I can do that. I'm good at that. And all of a sudden, the humility's gone out the window because we think it's us instead of Him. And Jesus in John 15:5 made it very clear, it's not you. It's me. I am the vine. You are the branches. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So even though He shapes you to serve and He calls you to serve and He puts the circumstances right there in front of you and asks you to serve, you need to remember, no, stay connected to the vine. Without Him, you'll really mess it up. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to talk about one other area here that I don't have a scripture to go with it, but I think you'll recognize it, and it needs to be highlighted, and that's significance versus prominence. On my body, I have a Morrison nose, and my nose is prominent. You could line up me with my brothers, if you could line up me with my sons, you would notice the Morrison nose. Fortunately, I married a woman who has a smaller nose. So it's prominent, but I could lose my nose and I could still go on living. It's prominent, but not significant. On the other hand, if I lost my liver, I'd be dead. My liver is not prominent, but it is very significant. When you think that the upfront visible things that you see in people serving God, so the people that come up here and lead us in worship or any other part of the service, when you walk into a home group and meet gifted hosts that open up their Bibles and it's like, how do they do that? When you walk into a Sunday school room and there's a lesson prepared and somebody leads you right through the truth of God's Word and you think, wow, but I could never do that. We've got to stop thinking that way. See, there's those prominent positions, those upfront kinds of things. And some of them, it's a prominence and significance. Many times the ministry that happens behind the scenes is more important. I was thinking about it just this week. In the calling for meals for Mel Bastine's family, okay? Some of you have these gifts. You can walk into a kitchen and you can just get stuff out of it. I mean, you can just make it, and when we taste it, we go, that is amazing. You do not want me to cook for you if you get sick. You might get sicker. I don't have that gift, but some of you have that. And so this week in your kitchens, you're going to do ministry and you're going to serve Melba's family. And it's going to be awesome because you're really gifted there. You've been shaped by God, and that's something you really can do. I can't do it. The Bible teaches that the parts of the body that we don't see are more important than the parts we see. And the same is true in the body of Christ. Every ministry matters. Don't excuse your service. Don't say it like, well, I can't sing, so I don't know what I can do. or I could never get up front with a microphone. All I do is, and you fill in the blank, and you've just lowered your position. And if it's God-called service, if He's the one that shaped you for this, called you to do it, and you said yes, and you're doing it, don't ever compare it. It's you, the way God made you, and it's your yes and your obedience, and that is a glorious thing, and it counts in heaven. It's amazing. I remember the psalmist's words, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Greeters, that one's for you. Praise the Lord. Several years ago, two teenage boys walked into a church service and walked into the sanctuary and saw it looked packed. And so they turned around to leave, thinking, you know, there's no place to sit. But an usher stopped them at the door, and he said, hey, guys, just the two of you? Hold on. I can find you a seat. Just wait right here. And he went, and he found two seats, and he ushered them. He took them right to their seats. That night, both of those boys accepted Jesus as their Savior and became Christians. And one of those boys was Billy Graham. God used him to lead hundreds of thousands of people to Jesus. Do you think that usher will get any credit in heaven? I think so. You have no idea what the significance of your serving is. So don't compare. Don't lower yourself and say, well, all I can do is, this is what I do, but it's really nothing. No. Stay faithful and obedient to what God calls you to do. The key is do it. If He calls you, you say yes, you do it. It may not be prominent as far as what people see, but it is significant. If you're following along in the sermon notes, I got one more thing to cover here. I want to talk about ordinary people. It's us. Ordinary people. If you came to my house and I offered to pour you a cup of iced tea and I took a paper cup like this and gave it to you, you'd probably tell me, hey, this is really good iced tea. Boy, I really needed it. I was dry and this really refreshed me. Thank you for the iced tea. But if you were to show up at our house and Cheryl reached into the upper cupboard and pulled down this glass, I know these are antique glasses. They're gold rimmed. They're really special. They belong, they're family heirloom kind of things that we have. If I were to pull this glass out and fill it with iced tea and hand it to you, you know what you would talk about? Not the tea. You'd talk about the glass. Wow, that's a really special glass. It's got etching on the side and it's got the gold rim, and you'd be talking about the glass. I've shared this illustration before, but I don't want us to ever forget. See, you're a vessel, just like one of these glasses here. You're a vessel. You're filled with God's Holy Spirit. If you end up being a fancy vessel, people are probably going to talk about you, not God, right? Ordinary people like us. The vessel itself, maybe not much to look at, but what's inside makes all the difference in the world. And that's how God will use you to refresh people with His presence, with His Spirit flowing through you. And I love 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in jars of clay, so that this all-surpassing greatness, to show that this all-surpassing greatness is from God and not from us. Let me tell you about Samuel Bringle, and I'll close. In 1878, when William Booth's Salvation Army was really gaining ground in England and beginning to mark men and women, it was a movement that was making a spiritual difference in the culture. So many people came to England to enlist, and one of them was Samuel Bringle. He turned down the call here in America to a pulpit of a large church in a big city. He actually had dreams to become a bishop in the Methodist Church. And he got on a boat instead, and he went to England and enlisted in the Salvation Army. When he got there, General Booth said to him, "You've been your own boss too long." So in order to instill humility in Bringle, he set him to work shining the boots of the other trainees. I mean, they wore uniforms just like military uniforms, black, shiny boots. And there's Bringle. He was assigned to shine the boots of 18 men, so he had 18 pairs of boots to shine every day. And he's sitting there shining those boots, wondering if all of his education and training was a waste. And then he had what, kind of like a vision, where he saw Jesus bending over, washing the feet of his disciples. The King of the universe washing the feet of uneducated fishermen. And the Lord seemed to say to him, "I did it." And Bringle had this light bulb moment. "Lord, you washed their feet. I can shine their boots." Well, that's the story behind the truth I want to share with you in closing. Samuel Bringle was quite a writer, and here's some of what he wrote. He said, "People are crying for God to use them, but he can't. They're not yielded to him. They're not humble or teachable or holy. The fact is, God is using everybody that he can and using them to the full extent of their fitness for his service. So instead of praying to so much to be used, people should search themselves to know whether they're usable." And he quoted this scripture, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." And I paraphrase now from Bringle, God wants to use you. But before you ask him to use you, make sure your heart is fully committed to him. And then you can count on God to reveal the place where you can serve him. Samuel Bringle wrote, "When God searches for someone to work in his vineyard, he doesn't ask, is he talented? Is he well-educated? Does he have a great voice? Is he eloquent in prayer? Is he a powerful speaker? But rather he asks, is his heart completely mine? Is he holy? Is he loving others? Is he willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Does he love me so much and have so much confidence in my love for him that he trusts he's being used even when he can't see it?" If you are a Christ follower, you are called to serve. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up to the front. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." With our salvation comes a corresponding summons to join God on his mission. If you read the book Experiencing God, you will not miss that point. We are called to join God on his mission, called to serve. So where are you at in this call to serve? And I want to highlight just three areas where it may apply to you today and then ask you to respond. One might be the beginning point. The beginning point is salvation. The beginning point is opening our life to God, to recognize I'm a sinner. I have done things in my life that are against God and his commandments, and I need to repent. I need to turn around. I've been living for myself and going my way. I need to go his way. If you need to begin a relationship with God, oh, he's ready to meet you. All you have to do is come to him and ask. And so our altars are open, and you could come. And in our church, you don't need to pray alone. So I know sometimes when we're at that point in our lives, we say, "I don't even know what to say." There could be somebody that would help you. All you have to do is say, "Would you help me pray? This is what I need." So it may be the start of a relationship with God. And this calling to serve, well, this is just the first step, and that's all you need to take today. It could be what Samuel Bringle highlighted for us. It's a surrender. Is your heart fully committed to God? one of the saddest places in my ministry are those places where people come to me and they say, Pastor, 2 years ago, God spoke to me and said I needed to start this ministry, or I needed to start doing more of this for Him, to serve Him. And I knew it was God telling me, and I'm just coming now because, and they tell me why they didn't do it. That's really sad. I do not want any of you to miss the opportunity. And I believe He's in the room today, and He's speaking to some people here. And He's saying, it's now. I just need all of you, and then I'll take care of the rest. And for some of you, there's a third category, and that's kind of, I call it searching, but it's like this whole shape thing. All of those aspects. Who am I, and what did God make me to do? How can I serve Him? And it may be that before you go today, you just need to kneel here at the altar and just say, God, I'm available. Just don't know what to do with that. He'll help you. He'll help you. Would you stand reverently in His presence? I want to pray for you, and then we're going to sing a song, and it's a song where you can respond and come and pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your word today. What seems to be on the surface a very simple thing, we can too easily complicate with our excuses, our reasons why not. But You're here. So I pray today for anyone in the room that needs to start a relationship with You, that You would give them the boldness to just step out from where they are and to come and have a conversation with You where you deal with the sins in our life and You come and live in us. So I pray for that to happen in this moment. I pray for those that have something they're holding back. Their heart is not fully committed to You. And I pray today that there would be that breakthrough moment of just releasing themselves completely to You, to say, whatever, wherever, however, God, I'm available to You. And I pray for that one that's here, that they're trying to figure it out. They're following Jesus. They understand they're in a love relationship with a God who's loved them with everlasting love. But what do I do with that? And I pray for them as well, that You give them courage just to take the next step and to seek You and to ask and let You begin to speak. So thank You that You're here. As the worship team leads us, would you respond to God, obey. More important than singing a song is doing what God asks you to do in this moment. And it may be to step out from where you are and come to this altar. So I want to invite you. Thank you. truth of that song, I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here today? And some people have come to meet with God. If you still need to come this way, our altars are open. If you'd like to pray, we could use some ladies right here. Let me pray with you. Father, that song expresses truth that we need to live by. It's you. We know the enemy of our souls would highlight our inadequacies, our failures, the places where we've come from, though we're not holy. You've got enough grace to cover all of that and to sort it all out, and you still would call us to follow you. And you have a way to shape us and prepare us and then send us to serve. And I thank you for that. I pray that for each of us, God, that would be our heart's desire above everything else. We go to serve you because you've made us for that. And we'll find our great fulfillment there. I pray, God, that your grace would flow through the lives of each one that's heard your truth today, that you would help us go from here to obey that truth for how it applies to us in our lives. And I pray, too, there would be a sweeping of your Spirit across us as your people, that it would be the revival stirring, that it would be the openness of the heart fully committed to God, because you're looking right now for those people whose hearts are fully yours. And I pray, God, you would also defeat the lies of the enemy that would cause us to downgrade our service. Oh, Lord, help us not to compare ourselves with others. For what you have gifted us and called us to do, may we be found faithful. May we be filled with a zeal to serve the Lord and to help others on our journey here on this earth. And we pray it will all be for your glory, that in humility and the yes of obedience, your kingdom will advance through ordinary people like us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thanks for speaking today. Help us to live into this truth. Let you grow us this week. Let you speak and challenge us to be all that you made us to be, where you've placed us in these days and what you're asking of us now. And we pray it through Christ. And God's people said, amen, amen, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you as you go.